Well, I guess we can open up with prayer there, Miss Brenda. You come all the way down here just to say a prayer.
Coming all the time anyway.
That's all right.
Wherever.
It's gonna be potent.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you and give you praise. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege of meeting together, Father. With those that love you, Father, and also contain you, O God. So, Father, we just ask that you bless this gathering together, Father. And you speak forth, O Father, and may you receive that which you speak to each heart. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes, we do.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
So much.
I know. That's why I am with the sermon today.
What I'd like to do here this morning is talk to you about personal experiences that I've had with the Lord, dreams, visions, poetic, prophetic poetry, and all that the Lord has given me, but basically about the experiences that I've had with the Lord. You know, Jesus in John chapter 17, or just before then, he says, I have spoken to you using figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer teach you with veiled speech, but I will teach you about the Father with your eyes unveiled, and I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with him. For the Father tenderly loves you. That particular verse, Jesus says, I will no longer teach you with veiled speech. You know, when the Lord was walking the earth in the flesh, he spoke a lot of parables, veiled language. He had the disciples questioning, got their attention. And that's good. That's what mysteries and parables will do. Like Rich and I was talking this week, and I said, you know, when you go to a movie, it's a mystery movie. It really keeps your focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to figure out, I wonder what the ending of this thing's going to be, you know?
Sure.
And you're afraid that if you take your focus off of that mystery, if you miss a certain part of it, it's like, oh, God, I'll probably miss the whole deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a lot of guessing all through watching a mystery. Oh, I bet it was the butler. I bet it was Buddy. I bet it was somebody, you know? And that's kind of where our walk is with God. The 40-some-odd years I've walked with the Lord, it's been a mystery. Everything about God's kingdom, about Christ in me, the mystery of Christ in you, okay? It's all a mystery, and it's to keep us asking, to keep us focused.
Sorry.
To keep us
Hello,
focused.
Oh, God. You called?
Wait a minute. The Lord's calling Marge.
Hello. Oh. Just a minute.
Oh, my.
Oh, I got it.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was inside.
But anyway, in preparing for Sunday school, these are the things that the Lord was sharing with my heart, you know, that really walking with the Lord is a mystery. But, you know, when you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's interesting how the Lord in John chapter 17 says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. For the time has come to unveil the glorious splendor of your Son, so that I will magnify your glory. And the time has come for them to understand eternal life and to experience you. He used that word experience. Then he goes on, he says, and the only true God, experience eternal life, and the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Then he goes on down in the chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. And he says, but now, Father, I am returning to you, and I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you, so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to write, and he says, for the very glory that you have given to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. Mm-hmm. 6 or 7 times in Jesus' prayer, he prayed that we would experience all those things. Not that we would sit around and talk about them until we go home to be with the Lord, but that we would experience these things in the now. In the now. But in the now that we're talking about is a kairos now. It's not a chronos. You know, chronos time is lineal time. And, you know, we carry the clock on our, carry the watch on our wrist, and we're in tune with everything that's going on this earth. But there's a kairos time. There's a realm of spirit that God wants us to walk in, that Jesus walked in, that Jesus demonstrated. That's one of the main reasons why the Lord came to earth and walked on the earth, was to show us, reveal to us our sonship and what kind of a new creation we actually are. You know, becoming, yes, but we actually are a new creation. And we have the same ability that Jesus had. And Jesus talked about how he was walking in the earth, but he basically said, but my heaven and my heart, or my heart and my head is in heaven. In other words, he was walking on the earth in this chronos time. He had a day to go about, but his heart and his consciousness, that's what we're talking about. His consciousness is not of this earth. He said, I'm in the world. I'm in this chronos time, but I'm not of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not of the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. So one thing that the Lord wanted me to know and wants us, I believe, to understand is that this Christ, this mystery that we have, that God is unveiling to us, is he wants us to understand that we are to experience Christ in the now realm, in the kairos realm. Where God dwells, that's called the now realm. God knows the beginning from the end. It's kairos time. There is no time in that realm where God lives and where God exists. There is no time. There is for us. The Lord gave me a poem some years back where he said, for you, son, there will be no more time nor space, for it will be my mind that will take its place. God does not want us walking in chronos time. Now, we've got responsibilities, we've got bills to pay, a lot of us got jobs to go to, and so on and so forth. Some of us are blessed and fortunate like Rich, where he just hangs out all day.
Yeah, right.
You know. But the Lord wants us to understand that he wants us to experience it. Now, the Lord gave me a vision a while back, and all I saw was an old gold miner. And he had his little old metal pan, and he was by the stream, and he had built his little thing where the water came down, and he'd get that dirt and grit and grime, and he'd pick it all up, and he'd sit there and let the water flow on it. He picked it, all of a sudden, praise God, there's a little nugget about that big, you know. He put it in his little bag. And the Lord said, that's how my people are. That's how my children are in the church today. They're like that old miner. They're working in the heat of the sun. That old miner's got sweat and perspiration all around the brim of his hat, okay? Just like many of God's children today in the church. They're sweating everything. They're sweating tomorrow. They're sweating if they're in God's favor, if they're really the beloved in God. They don't understand that it's already finished. They don't understand that it's a walk of grace, purely grace. Okay? And really, the only thing that God desires to do after we get saved is to reveal to us the finished work of the cross. Finished means what's left to finish?
Nothing.
He said, it is finished. Now all he wants us to do is to seek to know the mystery, go inside, spend some time, quiet time with the Lord, and he will reveal to us who we really are. The church is so busy and laboring so diligently to become something they already are. Okay? We have put the cart before the horse. Okay? Jesus wants us to yoke up with him. Okay? He's the big ox. We're the little ox. And he's just going to go ahead and pull the whole wagon. But what we have done in this hour, in my opinion, is the church has put the cart in front of the horse. In other words, they are trying to get us to pass out our four spiritual laws. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But it's all about works, 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 works. All the time the Lord is saying, yoke up with me, for my burden is light. Okay? Yoke up with me. And he also says, learn from me in those scriptures. He says, learn from me. Okay? This is something that I think that the church is really falling short in, is in the area of learning from him. We run to and fro, every preacher in town, every conference, every new book, every new pamphlet, blah, blah, blah. But we just don't spend time with him.
Good point.
So, the Lord said, I don't want them with their little pan looking for a little piece of gold amongst all the other garbage that's coming out of some of organized religion. I mean, there's doctrines that, you know, once you get saved, now you wait to vanish from the earth and go to heaven. So that's the stuff that's in our pan as we try and pan for gold, as we try and pan for the true word of God, from the nature of God. It's all the other grit and grind that's in the pan that we have to sift through in order to find one little piece. And the Lord is saying, I'm calling you to the mother lode. Come up here. Come up here in the now realm, in the kairos realm, where I will speak directly with you. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? 31, 30, somewhere in there, where God said, and in that day I'm going to make a new covenant with them. I'm going to write my word in their heart. I'm going to speak to them, you know? And that's basically one of the messages that the Lord wanted me to get through. He desires right now for his people. The Lord said there's a great portal open in heaven right now for them to gain tremendous wisdom from me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And many of us in the church today are saying, we really don't have any need of anything, Lord, because we have great ministers, we have big churches, you know, praise God, we got it all. And the Lord's saying, no, you don't.
There's more.
That isn't what it's all about. You know, it's all about knowing me. I don't want to sound like I'm being so critical on big churches and preachers and stuff like that, because I'm not. I mean, God bless them all. As a matter of fact, the 40 years that Mars and I have been walking in the Lord, there's been a lot of great ministries and so on that have touched our life. But I think after a while you come to realize that you can't receive anything unless it's from heaven. I don't care who the man is. I don't care who the teacher is. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care about the books you read. You are not going to receive anything unless it comes from heaven.
Amen.
Unless it comes out of an out realm. Yep, Brenda.
I heard a minister once, I forget where it was at, and he was said that a lot of the church are like junkies. They're running from one place to another place to another, getting a fix, you know, instead of really coming to spend that time, like you're saying, to know him for yourself.
Yep.
Instead of rather than hear this word. Oh, he's teaching this. I'm rather to hear that. I'm rather, you know,
right.
instead of taking that time and getting alone.
You know,
knowing him and experiencing him for
right.
yourself.
Exactly. It is challenging to take time out of your day and get quiet. It is really challenging. I know years ago, the Lord kept nudging me, you know, get quiet, go upstairs, spend some time with me. And I couldn't get away from the TV, whatever. And then the Lord said, just 5 minutes? Can you give me just 5 minutes? And I thought, well, I think I can deal with 5 minutes, you know. So I started giving the Lord 5 minutes to just getting quiet, you know, and just saying, praying Paul Mueller's prayer. Father, I just want to know you. Paul Mueller was a guy that had these children's orphanage homes, I think, in England. He was a great man of faith. But the only prayer I ever prayed was, Father, I want to know you. And all of a sudden, he comes into all these children that are orphans, and he starts building these orphanages. But all he was praying was, Father, I want to know you. He wasn't praying, give me an orphanage. Even in the morning, they never had any food in the orphanages, But every morning, either a donut truck or a food truck would pull up and feed every one of those kids. And Mueller said, the only prayer I ever prayed was, Father, I want to know you. That was it.
Wow.
It was just like Solomon. You know, I don't know what I would have said to God, if I'm honest with myself, about Jim, you found favor with me. You name anything you want,
right,
and I'll give it to you.
Right.
Immediately I see a condo on the beach. But, you know, Solomon said, I just want wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, when he made that statement, what he was saying to the Lord was, I don't need anything other than you. I don't need gold. I don't need a bigger chariot. I don't want a whole host of chariots. I don't want a big army. I don't want a big castle on the hill. I don't want any of that. I just want wisdom.
Which
so
is
I,
eternal.
Yeah, well, sure.
You know,
yeah.
all that other stuff is
yeah.
temporary.
Yeah. But it was his heart condition. He didn't desire anything. I mean, most of the prayer life of a lot of us is, Father, I need this. Father, give me this. Father, I have all these questions you need to have. Father, 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 Father. Instead of saying, I just want to know you. There's so much suffering in that kind of a prayer life. The Lord says, if you want to suffer, just suffer a little bit by taking a half hour out of your day and come up and spend it with me. And a lot of the other sufferings are just going to go away. But we create 10 times more suffering because we try and handle these problems ourselves, and we don't get alone with the Lord to go up into the heavenlies and gain the wisdom of God, what it is we, the answers that we need, simply by saying, Father, I want to know you. I was sitting down one time and I said, I heard this one guy say, God gave us an imagination, use it. And the first thing I thought of was Paul says, you know, stay away from vain imaginations. But the Lord said, no, I gave you an imagination, go ahead and use it. And I said, well, if I start imagining things, where am I going to end up at? You know, I could end out some crazy
right.
place.
Right.
And he said, son, if you're calling on me as your guide, the Lord Jesus, I'm not going to let you get out into the solar system. And he spelled solar, S-O-U-L, the solar system. I'm not going to let you get trapped in vain imaginations. I'll be your leader. And so I set out, I said to him one time, okay, I'm going to imagine. So I started just getting my imagination going, and all of a sudden I heard, why don't you get a nice patio for us to meet on? So I, in my mind, I saw this patio, you know, with nice little bushes and flowers around it, and got two chairs. I set two chairs up, one for me and one for the Lord. The Lord was going to come and meet me there, so I sat down, and he said, now wait. That's what I felt my imagination was saying. So all of a sudden I saw some man walking down the garden path toward me. Came all the way over, sat in the lawn chair that I had opened up for him. And he looked at me, and I looked at him in my imagination. We didn't say a word to each other. I just looked at him, and he looked at me. And I must have sat there probably for a minute with just looking at each other. And the only thing he said to me, what's on your mind, son? God is really concerned about what's on our mind. He wants us to renew our minds by spending time with him. That's the only question he asked me, what's on your mind? He didn't say anything other than that. He said, what's on your mind? And so I started thinking, what is on my mind? And oh my God, when you start thinking about the things that are on your mind, oh my God, you know? So anyway, I just want to share a little thing with you. God is really concerned about us getting our minds renewed. And so the Lord gave me a poem, and the title of the poem was, Lo, the Winter is Past. You know, the seasons of the cold and the frost. Wisdom is the thing the Lord said that you want to get, for in it there is no regret. Wisdom is the thing you want to have, for it will distinguish between the good and the bad. Wisdom is what you want to know, for it will keep you from the season of the frost and the snow. Wisdom is the thing that you must see, for it will bring you forth into the image and the likeness of me. For wisdom is calling you forth in this my new day to lift you up higher to see the more perfect way. So stay the course, my precious ones, that you can awake in the Almighty One. The Lord is saying, the suffering that I really only want you to go through is when you try and get alone with me, and your flesh will just fight you to no end. It will fight you when it comes to quieting down and whatever. And then the Lord talked to me about the secret place, and it was a poem that he gave me here, and it said, there's some of you have heard these poems, but it bears repeating, I think. There is a place in Jesus Christ where very few have seen. It is a place of oneness and joy, where his love does reign supreme. It is the place in which we find the oneness of his being, the secret place we all have heard, a place that's been well hidden. But now we hear the Father's voice saying, for in this hour you now are bidden. So come up, my child, and hear my voice, and see this place prepared to share my love and my peace and my life, of which nothing can compare. So continue to shun the world and seek my face, for you are now bidden into my secret place. Matthew 22 says, go and bid them to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matthew and them, the apostles, they were supposed to go into the highways and the byways to bring people into the marriage. And I was meditating a little bit on that, and you know, I started thinking about a wedding. And I was thinking about, at a wedding, what do you have? You have servants, you have busboys, you have chefs, you have people, servants basically, that put the chairs together and all that. And that's wonderful, but you do have that at a wedding feast. You have servants, okay, that serve the guest. And that's not a bad place. The Lord calls that 30%. Then there's 60%. 60% are the people that got an invitation from the bride or the groom, and they were personal friends of the bride and the groom. And the bride and groom want to honor them by extending the invitation to come to the banquet, eat all you want, enjoy yourself, have a great time. That's the second group, 60-folders. The 100% is the bride. It's the bride. The question is, what do we aspire to in God's kingdom? Do we want to be a servant? And that's fine. Trust me. Even the servants in God's kingdom, it's a glorious place in the heavenlies, okay? And frankly, he'll still continue to deal with us even when we're over in the heavenlies until we all come to the perfection and the oneness and the unity of Christ. But, you know, do you aspire to be a servant? And do you aspire to be a friend of God? Or do you aspire to be the bride of Christ? Do you want to be married to the Lord? And again, if you're married to the Lord, you will be a servant. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying if you want to circumvent the servitude route and just want the blessings. I'm not saying that. Because if you aspire to be a bride and to really come into unity and harmony and oneness with the Lord, you will be a servant. And frankly, you will never be a son until you're a bride. You're a child of God. But if you want to be a mature son of God and do the works of God, you're going to have to become a bride, the unity. Another poem I feel inspired to read is, I'm looking for a people who will listen in this hour. You know, last week when Brother Tim A. preached, he, every once in a while, he would say, Sila, you know, which means stop and, you know, chew on this for a little bit.
Ponder.
Yeah, ponder it, right. I love the Passion Bible. Instead of saying Sila, it says, pause in my presence. Pause in his presence. That's good. That's good. Pause in his presence. And so this poem, the Lord said, I'm looking for a people who will listen in this hour. Selah. Pause and think about that. I'm looking for a people who will listen. Are we listening? I think in most cases we are, but I find that the best way to listen is to get quiet.
Amen.
You know, to get quiet before the Lord. Come away from the crowd, if you will, from time to time. Fellowship is wonderful. But some people just totally get lost in fellowship. All they want to do is just do this and go to the parties, go to the banquets, eat, listen to the preachers, go to the conference. Okay? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, some of you are running so fast, I can't catch up with you. You're running so fast, I can't catch up with you. And that's where a lot of our brothers and sisters are in the church today. I don't say that critically, because I was a runner too. I was a runner for a bunch of years, creating house fellowships and this and that and the other thing, looking for doors to go and minister and, you know, kicking some down if they didn't invite me, you know. But
you're not a Baptist.
But, you know, the Lord says, I'm looking for a people who will listen to this hour. I'm looking for a people who will glisten in this hour, shine with the glory of God. Isaiah said, arise and shine, for your light has come. God said, I want you to glisten with my presence. I even looked that word up in the King James, and it actually is the word glisten in the Bible. But anyway.
You will glisten if you listen.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, you listen, that's good. And then the poem goes on to say, for only I know the way through the valley of death. God is the only one that knows the way through the valley of death. God's looking to redeem a people in this hour, even to redeem their very bodies, that they not go to the grave. Paul talked about the adoption of the body, but we're not going to get into all that. But anyway, he says, for only I know the way through this valley of death, and I will lead you into my perfect rest. You know, a person that's at perfect rest and at perfect peace, you can't kill them. Their body will never die. Jesus had to lay his life down. Death could never take him. He walked in perfect peace and rest. Every cell of your body will heal itself if you walk in perfect peace. What kills us is the stress of the world, you know, the arguing, the fighting, the whatever, the judging, all the things that we're into. It's just wreaking havoc in our body, and eventually the spirit of death will overtake you. And only I know the way, and only I know the way to the promised land, to bring you into the fullness of my plan. So take my hand and follow me, and keep on eating from the promised tree. And as you do, you will be. He didn't say you will see this life abundant. He said you will be this life abundant in its reality. He wants us to experience all these things that we've read in the book. I'm going to read a poem, then I'm going to open it up to any questions and comments, not necessarily questions and answers. I only have all the answers. Comments. Okay, here's a poem a poem written by a brother named Bob Robin. I don't even know who he is. I don't know how this even came into my possession, but I've held on to it for a couple of years. And Bob Robin writes a poem, and he says, are you living in the past, remembering what Christ said to the disciples way back then? Is this your daily bread? What he said to the disciples. Is that your daily bread? Does God's word come secondhand? something that he said to another? And has his word just filtered down to you from brother to brother to brother? You think God's mute? Forgotten how to speak to folks today? And all he says is what he said and has nothing more to say. God's speaking now. He speaks the same as first his word was heard. In fact, King James is not his name. His name is the living word. Who has an eye? Then let them read things that the Bible said. But let him hear who has an ear. Hear God, for he's not dead. God's not just a book of ink and paper, a version or a translation of history, but greater. He's right now, revelation. Yes, read the scriptures. They are fine. Heavenly words, anybody's version, but he's more than chapter, verse, and line. Our Lord is a real live person.
Amen.
Now, if you want copies of this, I'll be more than happy to run some off and get them out to you. But that is a powerful poem right there. Because every time somebody says, well, you know the word says, they're thinking of this. God's looking for people that can sit in front of people and teach and preach about their experience. Let me tell you about the dream God gave me. Let me tell you about the vision I saw that the Lord showed me. Let me tell you what God spoke to me last night. Let me tell you about the prophetic poetry that God gave me in my quiet time with him. Instead of, well, let's all read the book and dissect that. I want to know what he said to you. What's your experience? I want to hear experiences. And in the days ahead, I think that God's raising up a people that's going to be able to come into these fellowships and have the real goods. The real goods. Again, there's nothing wrong with preachers and teachers and things. God did give us a fivefold ministry until he has given us apostles, teachers, evangelists, until. There's an until time. Well, what is your time? What is your time? I still listen to them. Don't misunderstand me. But God wants a people who will listen in this hour and who will listen. Amen. I one more poem. We'll praise God for this new day. How wonderful it is to see the shadows flee away. God has opened a new door for those who would see, and he's taken off the blinders to come up and be in his image and likeness so that others might see the glorious new creation he's calling us to be. So please, my precious ones, respond unto me so I can put you on display for all the world to see. For truly, you have entered into the day of the revelation of me. Mm. Praise God. Mm. Comments? I'm done. I mean, I could go on for 2 hours,
I think we're at the time where we get beyond talking. Does that make sense? It's good to talk. But we talk about how we're one with Christ. We talk about us and him and us, him and us and him. We talk about that. But what does that really mean? I mean, you know, it says in 1 John that the Word was the light. Jesus was in so much light. Does it say anywhere he got sick? Does it say anywhere that he dealt with stuff that all of us have dealt with? I mean, sure, he dealt with rejection and he dealt with that, but I'm talking about in his physical body. I mean, there was never, I bet you didn't even have a runny nose. So we're sitting there saying, okay, we're one with Jesus. Jesus said, Father, make them one as we are one. I think when you're in that much light, you know, you There's no cancer. There's no none of this stuff that you hear all around there. And I don't know if that's going to happen in my lifetime or not. But guess what? You get in that much light, you'll see people living to be 120, 130 years old, just like back in the old days. And that light is, I mean, you know, that's where life is. Light and life are synonymous. So I think, you know, I think the more we get into that experiencing his presence, experiencing him, I think we're going to see things change even in our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. It says he shall quicken your mortal body. Well, we talked about that, but let's talk about what it really means. He can change the cells of our body to bring about health, to bring about renewal, to bring about what our bodies were 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. And it's not all about the body, but we tend to just discount the body, you know, because we're more concerned with his spirit in us and our soul and whatever. Yeah, that's very important, but he gave us mind, body, or soul, body, and spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So don't you think he's concerned with your body?
Yes.
Maybe not. If you don't agree, that's fine.
Well, he says we're the body of Christ, so that's the reason why he's concerned. We're the body of Christ. Uh-huh. Literally, we're the body of Christ.
But anyway, I just see we're on the cusp of a new day where we're going to see things that will amaze us. But we got to start having faith to believe.
I'm taking care of a lady, the lady I shared with you. Oh, she's 90. She'll be 98 the 27th of this month.
Wow.
And when I first went there, she was a minister's wife that she was friends with, that I used to go to the church where I saved them. Referred me because they were going to put her in a nursing home because she went down so thin, not eating and everything. And so when I went there, I'll never forget the statement she had when I met with her in her living room. I've never seen her before, I met her. And after we talked a little bit, I said, I feel like I've known you all my life. This is what she said. Oh, you did, but you didn't know. She said that. She don't remember saying it, but I'm telling you that her son told, and I give all the credit to God. I told her, her son said this week when he was changing some bulbs in the family room when we were sitting, he said, we can't thank you enough how much we appreciate you, because I know my mother wouldn't be sitting there if it wasn't for you. Aww. And we pray together every day. I go there Monday and through Friday. And I began to share, you know, with her experience, just whatever God, I never had no plan. And God was speaking.
That's kind of sharing.
Yeah, and she told me, she said, when I would come in, she said, oh, here comes my little angel. Here comes my light. She'd say this.
She's prophesying.
And and I tell you, not only has she been blessed, I have been blessed.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we share, and she says, she said, I really thought I really knew the Lord. But now she says, now she knows that she knows. But I know it's just been, you know, and she reads the word, and she reads and she shares. We share with one another and we pray. And God has answered prayers over people we have prayed about. People call her from out of state, and she still knows. I hear her ministering on the phone, and I'll go over and we'll hold hands and we'll pray for people that still contact her from New Jersey and, you know, different states. But I just look at God and see how he is moving so within us and how we are being him.
Yeah, amen.
Wherever we are, whoever we come in contact with. And many times we don't even know what he is speaking, you know, to someone, you know, through, and it's a real blessing. And when Charles passed, she already had lost two sons. One was 39, he was a minister of heart attack. Another was her baby. He was 36. They had heart conditions.
Wow.
Then her oldest son just passed a year ago. I can't tell you how she ministered to me because of what she had experienced.
Right. And, but doesn't the word say give and it shall be given
unto you? Oh, I tell you, I come in and she would just hug me.
Yeah.
Just minister, I tell you. And I just thank God for this.
Reaping and sowing.
This relationship. And we sit there. And we'll be sitting there talking sometimes. And God's presence just starts filling. And we just begin to start worshiping Him and praying. And she starts crying. And it's just beautiful. And July 1st will be 5 years. I can't believe it that I have been going there. Her son and her, they said, it seemed like a couple of years. But it's been God. When they say anything, I said, it's been God. It is Him.
Amen.
It is Him.
To visit the widows and the orphans. Yeah. That's where you'll find Christ. That's for sure.
You told me one time, I said, I've been a caregiver for many people, you know, elderly, some younger than me. And you said, oh, no, you're a love giver. This is what Jim told me. And it's been Him. It is him.
That's the only reason why the Lord wants us to know Him in a greater level, so we can become like Him.
Yes.
You know?
Go ahead, Edna.
I have two things. One about Debbie. My son got her text, but he gave it to me, so I don't know if it's exactly right. But she went to the hospital. And
Debbie Brown's in the hospital? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend. She went to the hospital because of her back. And I don't know if they kept her.
They did.
Or not, but they said she would need an operation. And I haven't heard anything so far yet. I just want to hold her up in prayer today.
Yes, yes.
And two, I have a poem.
What?
I have a poem.
Okay.
To go with your poem.
Good, good.
I don't know. I may have read this before. Anyway, it is, you know, Jim. My son Jim, that you met him when he came here. It says, oh, how can this be that Jesus could still love me? What shall all the people say that saw me walking in His way? Living, loving, talking, light, joyful praise in His sight. Then my way was threaded down, and on my garment blemishes were found. Run, what have I done? Hide for my pride, wondering in deep despair, only to hear His voice there. Oh God, how can this be that Jesus can still love me? Hiding in my secret place, hoping not to see His face. I must hide from the sun for the things that I have done. Run, what have I done? Hide for my pride, wondering in deep despair, only to hear His voice there. Lord, I can't hide from Thee, for it is like the foam at the sea. My garment has gathered these filthy stains. Oh, how can this be that Jesus does still love me?
Very good.
And that's
And he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. And we don't have to even talk about that other stuff anymore because he loves you unconditionally.
Forever. You can't hide from him.
No. Don't want to. Don't want to, because you know what? If you're hiding, that's if you're hiding from God, then you're allowing the shame of what you've done to control you. And he's already taken the shame.
Well,
he's already taken everything you could ever do, past, present, and future, and nailed it on the cross. It's done.
He was very young when he wrote this.
Yeah.
Very
good. And,
his heart was crying out, man.
Yeah.
God heard every word of it.
Yeah.
It's still hearing it. Yeah. It's good.
Yes.
But
I bet you if he was to write a poem today, it wouldn't be like that. Because he's probably by now realized that he wants to run to God, not hide from him, right?
Well, you met him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
you know he's knows the Lord.
Oh, he loved, yeah.
Loves the Lord, all that, yeah.
Yeah, he tells me enough about him. every day. But he does love Jesus.
No doubt.
God.
No doubt. And so do you.
Praise the Lord.
When you were reading that poem, the only thing that came to my mind, it said the living word is here.
Mm-hmm.
To hear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just.
Two different hears.
Yeah,
yes.
H-E-R-E and H-E-A-R.
Yes. I thought, wow.
You got something from heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
I, you know, I don't. I've been rolling this in my mind. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? I'll just throw that out to you.
Yes.
Is there a difference?
Sure.
I think there is.
There's definitely a difference.
Yes.
What's the difference?
I could hear you, but I'm not listening to you,
okay.
And I've already checked you out a long time ago, or whatever kind of thing. So that's how.
Okay.
It's kind of like the mother says to the child, Timmy, I told you three times.
Yeah.
Right.
Heard her, but I didn't know.
Like in a movie,
listen to her.
White man can't jump, and the guy, he would listen to
the music. I can jump, Brenda.
Yeah.
I can jump. I could stuff the ball when I was playing basketball.
That was a movie.
I know, I'm kidding you.
But you can't now.
You're listening.
I get about that.
But you're not really hearing.
Yeah.
He said, you don't hear him. You know, they're listening to the music in there. And he said, no, but you're not really hearing.
You reminded me of another movie, Rush Hour. Did you ever watch Rush Hour?
Oh, yes, all three.
Chris Tucker goes, this police officer from China or whatever came in, and they were both police officers. He was supposed to pick him up, and sometimes when people have a foreign language, we think they're deaf. We start talking.
Yeah.
Hello! So they're driving down the street, and he says, can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan could speak as good English as any of us, you know.
That's the way God talks to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Done
the
head.
Oh, Jesus.
Take him aside. Oh, praise the Lord.
Jimmy, any last shots before we head on out?
No, I was just thinking about the words of the poem. I'm looking for people who will listen in this hour.
There you go.
Looking for people who will listen. No, not really.
That's good how we, you know, I find myself getting caught up being in the working world still. With the things of life become so
overwhelming,
burdensome, and you know, trying to do well, and at the office and in construction, I've got you know many things. They say that people can't multitask, but by golly, if you can't, I'm close to something like that. You know, when you're doing four or five different projects and jumping around, and it's like, Lord, you know, thank you for allowing me to be able to do that, always thinking about, you know, what is my purpose? And this has hit me recently, you know, my purpose, like my purpose is out there and searching for something when all along it's in here.
Amen.
Where I am is where, you know, you wanted me to be, and I need to accept that and understand that instead of looking for something.
That's a great revelation, Brian.
You know, inside.
That's a huge revelation. Because when you take care of this in here, he takes care of that out there.
Yeah. When Oscar was talking about, he was at the hospital with Wiley, and Wiley thought he missed his calling or something like that. And when he spoke to us, I started thinking about that. And the Lord said, no, the only calling that my children have on their life is to become like my son. That's your calling. And out of that will come your ministry. Mm-hmm. The problem I think we have today is, again, the cart and the horse. Men and women go into ministry. As soon as they get saved, they got all that zeal, and they go right into ministry, and they set themselves up as authorities on the word and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But many times, they don't know God. They're saved, but they don't know him. Mm-hmm. And so our calling, our real calling, is to become like Jesus.
I think that's probably why there's so many mega churches, and not that all mega churches are like that. I'm just saying that let's get involved. Let's get involved, and they forget the purpose behind, you know, let's get them. I mean, we're constantly thinking, what are we supposed to be doing together as a couple? And, you know, and it's like,
the purpose has never changed.
Let's just get
from the beginning. Slow down, you're saying. What a wonderful message.
From the beginning of time, God said, let's make man in our image. That was the calling, that was the plan, and it has never changed.
But I hear this all the time when the preachers say, you know, well, I was called to preach, but I did it on my terms, and that's why I failed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. You know, they just thought that they were supposed to be so busy, and then, I mean, even because I hear Charles Stanley, he said he remembers.
Is that a preacher?
And he was saying that, you know, he had a friend that actually went into ministry, and I love hearing his story behind his examples and experiences. And I thought, wow, that's the problem with too many people, that they get into the ministry and get into the work and forget about what the Lord is telling them.
A lot of them end up divorced. A lot of them end up dying of heart attacks. A lot of them end up in houses of prostitution, silently. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's...
The good news is there's no failure with God. I mean, if you fail, you pick yourself back up, and then you get with him, and you learn from it, right?
Amen.
I mean, there's failure is, you know, the definition of failure probably with the world is you failed, you're done, that's it, right?
Yeah. So it says here in Proverbs 3, verse 13, happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that has anything to do with
it. That's it.
Oh, sure it is.
Talking about battles, one thing the Lord spoke to me a while back was, or a thought that I had was, some of the greatest battles that I've been involved in, or that I've won, some of the greatest battles I've ever won, I've never been involved in. Never been involved. But he won the battles for me.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord says, all the big battles you were in, Jim, I won them all for you. You know?
Brian, you want to pray?
And painting for gold. You know, thank you, Father, for this message today, God. It just speaks to our hearts so, and we just thank you for speaking through Jim and that word that you've given us, Father. Help us to continue to pan for the gold that only comes from you, to sift out all the wood, hay, and stubble, Father.
Yes.
It's meaningless, and so that we could just come to know you, to slow down, to listen, and to really know you, come to know you better, Father.
Yes.
Different today than it was yesterday. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for your grace, Father. And it's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, who we pray today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.